Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Clay Hensley joining us, old friend of the show, played ball for 7 years in the big leagues. Let's talk some baseball with him here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Clay, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Getting ready for a little appearance coming up here with the Astros on the next series, starting on Monday against the Blue Jays, so I'm excited about it.
So this is another six. I think this is the third straight year they've started 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do.
It is. It's what
and
they do.
So everybody's freaking out. Everybody's freaking out about Jose Abreu. Everybody's freaking out about, you know, a 6-7. Well, not everybody, but so Jose Abreu, let's start there. His bat speed apparently is down just a hair, but it was last year as well. He's not, if he doesn't hit with the pop that you thought, some people are saying get him out of the four hole. What are you saying?
You know, look, you gotta let these guys settle in a little bit. I mean, I think like we were talking about, and you guys just mentioned, historically speaking, you know, the Astros have always gotten off to kind of somewhat of a slower start. You know, what's interesting is you're seeing some of the guys in the lineup that typically do kind of starting on pot, like Tucker this year, but. You know, for Abreu, like, you got to let him settle in. He's going to be just fine. It's early in the season. We've got a lot of games left. And, you know, I hear a lot of fans kind of rumbling around Houston, kind of, you know, well, you know, what's this? We should have brought Yuri back, all this stuff. But, you know, if you look at Yuri's numbers at the end of the season last year, they were on the decline. He did fire it up a little bit whenever we started bringing some guys in at the trade deadline. But I still think Abreu's, you know, the pick. I think it was a good pickup in the offseason, and I think he's going to settle in. New team, and he's going to do exactly what he's been doing the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously so early. There was something that Patrick Creighton had brought up the other day about Christian Javier's velocity. You, as a pitcher, and I heard Kurt Schilling talk about this more than a few years ago. He's like, all these soft tossers, of course, they're going to develop arm problems. They're not going to be stronger. Kurt Schilling said, I get stronger as the season goes on because I throw a bunch of fastballs. Christian Javier throws a bunch of fastballs. Is he going to increase velocity as the year goes on?
Yeah, I mean, well, you see, he's not like an older guy out there. He's not, you know, he's 26 years old. He's still got a lot of youth left in him. You know, when in terms of talking about baseball, but it's exactly it. Same thing with, you know, hitters starting off slow. You know, I wouldn't, I guess, sound the alarm or anything like that with Christian Javier. His arm's just fine. He's not having any injuries. Talked to some of the guys down there in the locker room. And kind of asked what was going on, and he's just fine. You know, he's healthy. And that's the most important thing when you start talking about these rotations and the bullpen, you know, pitching staffs across the board. You know, you just want to make sure everybody's healthy. And, you know, the velocity will come. He'll settle in his role, and he'll settle in, get the pitch counts up. You know, it's early in the season, like we said, and, you know, he's absolutely going to start probably. You'll start seeing a lot of that velocity start ticking up probably over here in the next couple weeks, next month.
Clay, what, in terms of starting a season off, you know, when you're the hunted, and I don't know if you've ever been in a position like the Astros are in, but, I mean, they're clearly the team to beat in the American League, whether they are from an odd standpoint or not. To be the man, you got to beat the man. How hard do you think that is on the Astros? Do you think there's any recognition of that? It's a 162-game schedule, so it's a long time. But do you think in the locker room there's a recognition that everyone is gunning for you?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I got to believe that they've had that conversation in spring training, especially with some of these younger guys making the roster – opening day and kind of letting them know, like, look, you know, this is this is the big leagues, and we definitely have a target on our back. When you're a team like that, it's always nice to be that team, to be honest with you, because you want to be hunted. You want to be the team that everybody's trying to beat because the pressure's on everybody else to catch it. And, you know, the Houston Astros just got to go out there. They got to get everybody healthy, obviously. But when everybody's healthy, they're obviously one of the toughest teams, if not the toughest team to beat. The starting rotation's legit. You got strong guys in the bullpen. And, you know, obviously that lineup is stacked all the way through. So, you know, yeah, you definitely have a target on your back. And you kind of embrace that. You own it. And you say, you know, challenge accepted. Let's go.
So, Clay Hensley with us here, talking Astros baseball on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you think when Altuve comes back that maybe he won't be able to beat out Mauricio Dubon?
Dubon's doing it great, right? He's obviously filling in and doing an unbelievable job, you know, replacing, you know, such a gap in the lineup, missing Altuve. But Altuve's going to come back. He's obviously going to fly back exactly where he was. But now what it does is it gives the, you know, the front office, it gives the manager, Dusty Baker, the ability to have a good problem. You know, you have guys like that are going in there and contributing. You know, where do you put them in the lineup? You know, that's a good thing to have. That's one of those situations where it's like we're not trying to find another missing piece. Now we have another added weapon to the arsenal. So it just deepens that lineup, which, you know, is tough. I mean, imagine if he happens to go where he's coming up as a pitch hitter or coming up off the bench. You know, it's not a guy that you can take lightly.
I was just kidding.
I know, but I wanted to get in depth with it because you see a lot of guys talk about that, and it's like, well, what are we going to do? You know, obviously Altuve is going to slide back in, but at the same token, too, it's a good problem for the manager to have.
Yeah, and listen, the way Chaz is leading off, guys have stepped up. While the record is not great, but all of a sudden he moved Pena out. It's not like he doesn't, and all of a sudden he's given up on Pena. I mean, Pena moved down in the order, and guess what? It has worked out because Chaz is awesome at the top of the order. Pena's hitting a little bit more now. You've got Dubon. The bottom of the order has been coming through.
Well, and what it does is it provides protection. And that's what, when you have deep lineups like this and you have guys that, you know, 1 through 9 are absolutely contributing, you know, have a lot of pop, have a lot of power, can drive the ball. You know, you don't have your guys that you look at from a starting pitcher rotation. I mean, a starting pitcher's mindset where it's like, okay, we got to get through 1 through 5. You know, we feel like pretty comfortable. We can handle the rest. But Astros aren't that lineup, and that's what makes them tough. And that's what's made them tough the last couple of years is the depth that they have in the lineup. I mean, it provides protection throughout, you know, 1 through 9. You have guys that are just contributing the whole way, and every time a guy walks up to the plate, you know, he's got a chance to punish him.
One thing about the order. There's some nerd website that says that order, batting order just doesn't matter. Maybe a game and a half a year.
Batting order or hitting early in the
batting order. Batting does order not matter. Okay. Does not matter.
Right.
Does
right.
that in well, your in your mind is it that insignificant?
And if you do think it's insignificant, then don't feel like John's calling you a nerd directly, Clay. Just so don't feel pressure to say, well, I don't want to be called a nerd.
Oh, let me put my pocket protector in and give you the answer on that one.
But
you know, so I'll tell you, what's happened is, look, you remember the days whenever we had pitchers hitting, those were the days when I was playing, and I loved it. But, you know, as a pitcher, especially when I was starting, it was one of those things that were, you know, you kind of felt like, for the most part, except for maybe a small, very percentage of starting pitchers out there, that was an out, right? And then you had the double switches and all that stuff that was going on. Now, you don't have that. And, you know, one of the things about when we would always go and play interleague back in the day was, you know, facing that DH. Well, now you can essentially move a number one, what would typically be a leadoff hitter on any club in the National League is now, you know, can bat ninth. Then you have two leadoff hitters going back-to-back protecting, you know, your two-hole. That protects your three-hole, and that just it expands throughout the lineup. So, you know, I think in terms of where you're putting players at these days, you know, in the lineup as opposed to in the past, I think it's not as relevant as it used to be, so to speak.
Yeah, Clay Hensley is our guest right now. And, you know, the thing that I find interesting about the Astros is that you typically – one of the things that makes them dangerous is how many different guys can beat you on any given day. But what's really interesting right now is that you have Chaz McCormick still showing that he is an ascending offensive talent. But what you're getting out of – Jelks and Mauricio Dubon in the back half of that order, man, if everyone can start hitting together and Bregman's starting to come along right now, if they get some offense there at 7, 8, maybe not 9, but 7 and 8, what a huge difference that could make for the offense being consistently potent like we had seen in years past. Last year it kind of went away a little bit.
Well, yeah, last year kind of faded towards the end. I mean, it started getting towards the end of the season. You saw some of the veteran guys kind of starting to slow up a little bit. I think they obviously reignited the fire when it got to the playoffs. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, you go 1-9, you have guys that can punish you, you know, when you're out there on the mound facing them. And that's what makes the Astros tough. That, you know, we just talked about it. It's like if you have that protection at the bottom part of the lineup, that protects your 1-2 guys. When you have two guys going back-to-back that are essentially somewhat leadoff hitters, that protects everybody else in the lineup, because you get those two guys on, it's a different way to pitch, you know, your 2-3 hole. Then you got, you know, you got your power guys coming up the middle lineup. And, you know, look, Bregman waking up in Pittsburgh and starting to kind of show the pop again and get going and get fired up for 23. I think that, yeah, it's going to be a tough lineup. I'd like to see what these guys do over the course of the next probably 4 weeks. I think it's pretty imperative to see where they start, you know, if they're starting to continue to move forward with it or if there's anything that happens that slows it down. So, you know, there's a lot of gaps that have been in the Astros lineup, I guess, early on, especially missing the piece with Altuve. But I think that, like you said, you've got a lot of guys that have come in and filled in just nicely.
We were just talking about Shohei Ohtani and what he's going to get in free agency. I think it's $500 million is probably that's what the number that's been out there, and he probably does get it closer to home. Kyle Tucker, he is probably going to play out his arbitration years here and probably go get. Listen, he's not a guy that's taken that 5-year deal that Yordan did or McCullers did or Altuve did or Bregman did. He probably wants that long term money. And yet the Astros continue to just let guys go. It's unbelievable, isn't it, that guy after guy after guy leaves here, and yet this organization continues to just roll on.
Well, it's just a testament to the front office and the brass and, you know, your player development coordinators, you know, the guys that are in charge of the minor league system and, you know, the scouting at the college level and even at the high school level, bringing in these young guys and just having kind of like that, you know, barometer of what they want to have in the system. And, you know, what's interesting about Houston is that you look throughout the minor league system, you see these guys start to develop. Everybody has bought into the ideology. You know, I mean, from A-ball all the way up through the big leagues. I mean, these guys that are coming in now, you know, from AAA are just moving into the big leagues, you know, in a seamless fashion. You don't see a tremendous amount of struggle. You see the patience from the front office to allow the guys to get, you know, settled in a little bit. You know, nobody's really – there's not a sensation that anybody's looking over their shoulder. So, you know, I think that it's a testament to the way they draft. It's a testament to their player development program and a testament to the front office being patient with these guys and allowing them to settle into the big leagues. As far as Ohtani, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I believe that he's probably going to want to stay on the West Coast, like you said, closer to home with him. And, you know, I think that it's going to be – he's a generational player. You know, we have a lot of guys here that obviously were generational guys. You think about Harper and you think about some of the younger guys that came up and have just really, you know, hit every mark along the way in terms of, like, what a storybook career would be in the game of baseball. But, you know, you don't see a lot of pitchers going out there and banging out 30 home runs and then going and, you know, throwing 7 CGs in a year. So it's pretty interesting to watch them play. It's a lot of fun. I mean, if you're a guy that you've got to change the rules on, to help him play the game, I think it's a testament to what he is and what he means to the game of baseball. And I think you're probably correct. I think he's probably going to be somewhere around the $500 million mark.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. 9:15. We got to cut it there. That's Clay Hensley, Astros. When's the next time you're up?
We'll be out there on Monday. Yeah, we'll be out there on Monday with the team.
Nice, nice. We'll be watching you. Good job, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate it.
Clay Hensley right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, goodness.
Still ahead, Kevin Harlan is going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Big news. NCAA coming up next.
Oh, next.
Big news.
Oh, we got to go.
Bye.
Bye. Gulf Coast Chevy's next.
Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's in Angleton. And they are going to do a great job of making you happy. They've got some 0% financing going on right now. 90 days of no payments. See, we can do that too. 90 days, no payments right now in the Chevy Silverado. And that's just one example of what they're doing. 2022, 2023 models. Which one is your favorite model? Do you want to get a pickup truck with no payments for 90 days? Of course you do. Of course you do. Or if you don't, you don't have to. They also have cash back allowances on a variety of vehicles with low APR finance rates. In a time where all the interest rates have gone sky high, you're still finding very good deals for well-qualified buyers at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make that drive down to Angleton and find a great vehicle like the Encore. The GMC, the Buick Encore, rather, is a great smaller SUV that is going to give you the space to haul around, what you need to haul around for a smaller family. But it's still a great vehicle that looks good, great safety features, better gas mileage you're going to find than with some of the bigger SUVs. And right now they've got great deals going on right now at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Trade-ins have never been higher. You're also going to get a sales satisfaction that is beyond anything that people in Houston are offering you. It's a few extra miles outside of Houston, about a 42-minute drive to Angleton, but it's going to save you thousands. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
One of the best in the business, television, radio, sports announcer, broadcaster for the NFL, college basketball games on CBS and the NBA for TNT. Kevin Harlan joining us here. He just did the Lakers of Minnesota. Pretty good game the other night, huh, Kevin?
It was, yeah. Good to be out with you. Good morning, John, Lance. No, it was it was sloppy, and the two teams just played Sunday, so they're running on fumes after the long regular season, but they came out and they showed the intensity. You know, people ask, you know, the difference between the NCAA tournament, which we just finished with CBS and Turner, and the NBA, and the difference to me, the skill level is completely different. The skill level in the NBA is off the charts, and you see things every game that you just can't believe. You've seen a pass or a shot or a move or whatever. In the college game, the beauty of the college game is the intensity. And that's what you get in the NBA playoffs. The missing element in the regular season is what you get in the postseason, and that is the intensity, which is like the NCAA tournament. So that game Tuesday in L.A. had those marks. They had the intensity. It may have been a little sloppy, and it wasn't pretty at times, but it came down to a late shot and down to the final seconds, which is what you always want, and that's what made it entertaining. And I kind of think that's the way these playoffs are going to go as well.
You know, it's interesting because you have broadcast college football, pro football, college basketball, pro basketball. So you've done the college and pro game in the two biggest, you know, collegiate sports. Obviously, college baseball is not as big. What's your favorite of all of those to call? And you can designate NBA as NBA playoffs if you choose to, or the NFL as the Super Bowl, which I know you've done like 13 Super Bowls in a row.
Well, I'm lucky to do any of them. Let me tell you, I mean, this is far, reached the dreams I had as a kid. I wanted to get in the business and would have been happy in a lot of different places, but never dreamt I'd have the chances and the opportunities and the kind of positions I have right now. Doing a Super Bowl is pretty special, clearly, because it's the biggest event in this country, and so the Super Bowl is pretty high up there. The NBA playoffs are not far away from the NCAA tournament, quite frankly. They're, like I said, the comparison is very clear with the college tournament, and that makes it a lot of fun. I would tell you, widening my lens here, that the best job, play-by-play job, I think in the business, this is one man's opinion, but is the NFL. And I'm lucky enough to do a game on Sunday for CBS and then the Monday night game for Westwood One CBS Radio. And doing two games a week in the NFL season is a pretty special honor. So I guess I'd have to say the NFL would be number one, but not far behind certainly would be the NBA playoffs. And I do enjoy that. The tournament is such an honor because you're doing kids that some schools have never been on national TV. Some of these kids, this is what they build their entire
basketball career toward. Most of these kids don't go pro. They won't play overseas. They won't play in the States professionally. And so when they play in this tournament, it's kind of the culmination of all those practices when they were 6 and 7 year old girls and boys, and mom and dad taking them to those practices and those games and those summer camps and all that. You kind of see that culminate with the NCAA tournament, because it's the biggest stage they've probably been on and will ever be on. And so when you look at it through that lens, it becomes pretty special. So all of it is great. I never take any of it for granted, but in the scheme of things, in my profession, our profession, I think an NFL play-by-play job is pretty hard to beat.
Kevin Harlan joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to ask you, listen to this, and I got to ask you, is this your greatest call ever?
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Is that your greatest call ever?
Well, I hope not. God, if I'm remembered for drunks and animals running on the field, I've had a career that probably is not all that desirable. We were very bored. That was an early Monday night game. Kurt Warner and I, my longtime partner, at doing Monday night games in the Super Bowl. It was a bad game, early season game, and we were clearly bored. And this guy ran out in the fourth quarter when there was nothing going on, and fans were leaving, and he left his seat and ran out on the field. So, but those moments are fun. I hope people take them the right way, and I don't look to do it. It just happened organically, and
I love it.
But that, yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's my favorite call you've ever had.
A hot key, but it's relatable. It's like what something that guys are sitting around like, oh, that's hilarious. He's not so buttoned up. I mean, you've been this is what I couldn't believe. You've been broadcasting since you were 24 years old in the NBA. You started in high school calling games. So this has been – so I'm kind of curious about – your style has always been something that's been relatable to me. Like, I'll tell you just a little story. I used to love watching Kenny Mayne and Craig Kilborn, because when I was young, when I was in my 20s, I'm like, they kind of – like, this kind of speaks to me. I like the references, and they're it's a different – and so I think that you and Gus Johnson have two very specific styles, but – I think the excitability, when did you decide what your tone was going to be as a broadcaster? Not that it's made up, but that this is who I am. When did that happen for you as a broadcaster?
Well, I never thought of it. I mean, and I don't think of it really right now, and I'm a fan first and foremost. My dad was in professional sports since I was a little kid. He was the PR director, the media relations director for the baseball Cardinals in the late 60s, and then he went to Green Bay with the Packers and was in their front office and eventually became the CEO and president of the team for over two decades. And so as a kid, I was in clubhouses and I was in locker rooms and on sidelines and I was in press boxes mainly, and just grew to love sports through that way. I was so incredibly fortunate to get to see more or less behind the curtain how guys broadcast, how coaches prepared, how players practiced, you know, up close, and watching and being around that environment growing up kind of formed my, you know, admiration for what it takes to be a pro athlete and what success can bring and the elation that comes with it, the satisfaction, and it probably, but I don't think about it. In fact, I try to go the opposite way. I go into every broadcast, you know, just back off a little bit. But sometimes you lose yourself in a broadcast. And I tell young broadcasters this. I said, you want to be so lost in your broadcast that you don't notice the loud music blaring. You don't hear. You're not distracted by anything else going on except that pass or that catch or that dribble or that shot. And when you're like that, you let, I think, whatever it is that's in you come out truthfully and genuinely and organically. But I don't go into it thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to really, you know, let this rip tonight, or I'm going to, you know, anything that I've said that people have latched onto is nothing's written down. It's all off the top of my head, and just like weird stuff that I might say is because I'm kind of lost in the moment. And so I really attribute it to that. And the radio style, which is pretty different, I think, than a lot because of the descriptive style. I had an internship at the early beginnings of what was ESPN radio. And when I was going into my senior year in college, I went to the University of Kansas. And it was called Enterprise Radio, and it was the forebearer of ESPN Radio. And they hired two interns that summer. One, me, luckily, and the other one was a rising senior at Syracuse, and his name was Sean McDonough. Mm-hmm. And Sean McDonough and I were the two interns at this place called Enterprise Radio, which was the forebearer of ESPN Radio today. And we used to work with guys that had retired at Mutual Radio out of New York, or AP Radio, or CBS, NBC, ABC Radio, Voice of America, but they still wanted to stay in the business, so they would drive up to Connecticut and kind of moonlight or kind of do it part-time, and these guys had all these great tapes of Red Barber and the great broadcasters of yesteryear, radio broadcasts of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I would listen to those broadcasts when I was in college, but I knew this even growing up when I was in high school. But the amount of detail they gave and the excitement they showed and the inflection of their voices and all those things really, really had an effect on me, really was compelling. And I guess I'm kind of an offshoot of that time. So it may sound a little bit old school in the way that I broadcast, but that's just what I've come to appreciate. And at the end of the day, you've got to please yourself. You've got to do, like you two do this show in the morning, you know, you've got to do a show that you want to do that resonates with your mind and your heart to do what you want to do. And I guess that's the way I approach my games, is that that's the way I envision it. And everybody's different, and everybody who sings is different, and everybody who paints is different, and everybody who broadcasts is a little bit different, and that's just kind of the way that I do it.
Kevin Harlan with us here. Kevin, I was in Green Bay. I worked at WLUK, Channel 11 up there, in the late 80s and early 90s, and I knew your dad, and I got to tell you, he was just the classiest guy. He couldn't have been nicer to a young broadcaster, I can tell you that, and it was great to work with him. So, and I imagine you learned so much about sports. Did you grow up a Packer fan because of that?
I did, yeah. You're nice to say that. And I'll certainly pass it on to him. He kind of prides himself on how he handled people. I think that was, as he would agree, the number one thing that got him along in his career to the point where he ran an NFL team. Green Bay is owned by the community. There is no owner, so the president and CEO, which he was, acts as the owner. And you're elected by an executive committee of local and state businessmen in the Green and women in the Green Bay and Wisconsin area, and he was the first non-Green Bay born and raised president in the history of the franchise, which goes back to 1919. So, you know, it was a pretty amazing thing that he got that position, because it had always gone to a native, it had always gone to a Wisconsinite, it had always gone to someone who grew up in Green Bay and was part of the community. So, but watching him deal with people probably was the number one thing I learned. He would treat the mentally challenged person that would deliver his mail to his desk every morning, he would treat him or her the way he would treat the star quarterback Brett Favre or the head coach or the people on the executive committee. He treated everybody the same. And always found the good in people. And that's kind of what his trademark was. He was a great people person. And I just, you know, where they say 90% of success in life is dealing with people, the other 10% might be luck, and the other, 10% might be good fortune, whatever you want to call it. But when you deal with people the right way, it does. And I guess that's the biggest lesson I learned is watching him over the years do that and the way people responded to his kindness. And while I fall far short of that, I did have a front row seat watching him operate that way, and it has helped me a great deal.
That is Kevin Harlan. What's up next for you?
Tomorrow I'm flying to, what is today, Friday? Tomorrow I'm flying to Milwaukee to do the game between the Milwaukee Bucks and whoever they play, the winner of Chicago and Miami. And then we fly to Cleveland, and I'll do the Knicks and the Cavs on Tuesday. And then I'll fly to New York and do Brooklyn, Philly on Thursday and Saturday. And then we'll get our assignment sometime later this week for next week.
That's so great.
A busy time, certainly with the NBA playoffs, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's exhilarating and fun, and it's a real honor to broadcast these important games.
Great stuff. Well, we really appreciate you spending time here. We know you're busy, and so thank you for joining us here and spending your time with us. Kevin Harlan, one of the best in the business right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lance. Just want to say one quick thing. Your producer, RJ, is sure a nice young man, very professional. You deal with a lot of people in the business, and he stands out as being a very courteous and kind guy. And the three of you make a great team, so it was a real pleasure to be on with you this morning.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, he does a great job. Great job. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Harlan with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, next week we know where we are going to be. We are going to be at the Chevron Championship on Thursday and Friday, where the best in the world are going to be here. If you're looking for the best competition that you can find, we've got it for you. It's the Chevron Championship at a world-class facility. If you haven't seen the Nicholas Course in Carlton Woods, it's our best. It is fantastic. It is unbelievably nice. It's private, so it's not easy to get on. This is your chance to go see this golf course. It's going to propose a great challenge for these women. These women can play, flat out play, okay? People are screaming about them right now. Well, that was Lance's phone that they were screaming. So here's the deal. If you're looking for the best competition with the women are great, great players. If you have some kind of bias against women's athletics, okay, whatever. I'm going to tell you this. The best that you're going to find that in any sport, the competition and the skill level is golf. And women's golf is spectacular, and it is going to be at its best for the first championship of the season. You want tickets? You want to go see it? You want to go see the course? You want to go see the ladies? TheChevronChampionship.com. TheChevronChampionship.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Got this tweet. That's weird. Kevin Harlan never said that about Dell. That was nice of him to say about you, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm glad to hear. RJ's representing our show with the big people in the business. He's representing our show well, okay? Being classy. I want to tell you, I did know about Bob Harlan. He was...
good dude.
Yeah. He and Bob McNair always thought of as just classy. Classy.
Classy people?
The classy people. Bob, that was one way to describe Bob Harlan still is a really nice man, really, really nice man. So he had time for a young, stupid guy like me back in the day. So that was awful nice. That was awfully nice.
And you were stupid.
Oh, yeah, I was stupid. Yeah.
You're stupid.
Yeah. I was dumb. There's no question about it. What did we miss today? RJ, what did we miss today?
All right, well, Lance, if you could for me, can you name all of your children?
Sure.
Starts with Drake.
Drake?
Drake, right.
Yep, that's a good one. Alex. Alec.
Yeah.
Mason. Sebastian, and then the bully, Mariana.
Okay.
Okay, that was great. Because Nick Cannon was asked to name all of his children.
It's a lot more. It's like a Harry Mack asking for words before he does a freestyle.
And here was Nick Cannon's response to naming all of his children.
And you know their names? Everyone's name?
I can name all, of course. Can you name all your kids?
I'm going to test you. Moroccan and Monroe,
which we call Rock and Roll. Golden, Powerful, and then Zion, Zillion, Zen.
That's
and
correct.
And then from there, there's Legendary.
Keep going.
Then there's
Legendary Love. Rise,
Legendary Love. Then there's Rise.
You left out Onyx Ice Cold.
You know what? I did.
I knew you didn't know them all.
I didn't know. So in total, he has 12 kids.
Am I supposed to know who Nick Cannon is?
Is that a name, Onyx Ice Cole? Is that a
legendary?
Moroccan
Love or something? Moroccan Roll.
No, there's two different people. Rock, they call him Rock.
No, they call
him
Rock and Roll. It's one person,
different
Moroccan Roll.
Play it again. I think they're twins. We call them Rock and Roll. Those are the two different
people. And you know their names? Everyone's name?
Yeah. I can name all, of course.
Can you name all your kids? I'm going to test you.
Am I supposed to know who Nick Cannon is for some reason?
I'm trying to think of why you would. Like, I've known Nick Cannon for a long time, but you're not going to see Wildin' Out.
How about America's Got Talent?
John wouldn't watch America's Got Talent.
I've never watched.
That's not
Matt
an
Singer?
ABC. That's not an ABC joint. John doesn't like those kind of shows.
I don't
like those shows, he doesn't really like. He likes to probably look at pictures of Mariah Carey, but he's not going to care that Mariah Carey was with him. That's another way you would have known him. I'm trying to think, like, there's not
Does she
really
have a kid from him?
No. Oh, she has
Yes.
kids. She does?
Moroccan and Monroe.
Oh, that's right. She did. Yeah, they did have a kid. Were they ever quote-unquote married or no?
Yeah.
They were. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why? Is that why people know him? Because he was married to Mariah Carey?
No, like I said, he was. What was he doing before Wildin' Out? How did I know who Nick Cannon was? I've just kind of known who he is. I'm trying to think of how I knew him.
Well, he tried to be a rapper.
Yeah, but that didn't work. Did he try to be a comedian too?
Yeah. Then he did acting.
What is he exactly?
He's just like a businessman. Because he owns like half a Nickelodeon now.
Well, okay. But what would he... So if you ask like, okay, what are you known for? Like Kardashians are known for being Kardashians. What's her name? Put him on the map with that video. What's the rest... What's Nick Cannon known for?
I would have to say Wildin' Out.
Hosting. But it started with Wildin' Out.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah, and that which came later.
Yeah.
But what about
Singer.
Before Wildin'? What about before Wildin' Out? He's not known for being a rapper, is he?
A bad one.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
He come up in a crisscross era? Like, was he young like that back in the? Oh man, that's early 90s.
Yeah, I don't listen.
John, you shouldn't say to somebody with ADD, why should I know Nick Cannon and not expect me on a Friday just to completely go down a rabbit hole of Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
That's on you, Gary Kubiak. You got to do better.
No, I got to do better.
How should I know Nick Cannon? Well, I'm glad you asked, John.
Yeah.
Didn't think I'd be able to answer this today.
944 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. But first, John Daspit is coming your way.
News of the Paid. Because John Daspit, if you are injured and somebody's trying to screw you over with your hospital bills or your time missed from work or your physical therapy bills or whatever it is, that's where John Daspit steps in and helps. Because a lot of people have very serious injuries. Look, if it's a small thing or whatever, John Daspit may not be for you. But if you've been badly injured, if you've got a case, that's why he handles refinery blasts, he handles 18-wheeler crashes, he handles people who have been badly injured at work. He has handled a lot of offshore issues with offshore injuries. He does all that because people understand he's got a great reputation. He doesn't have a bunch of commercials where he's shooting fire at people and hitting people with weapons. He just is just out there trying to passionately pursue justice for the injured. And he does a great job of that. Very, very important in the NIL space. Just made a $1 million donation to University of Houston's football program for the NIL space, and he wants to give back. He went to high school here, got his law degree from University of Houston, and this is where he's helping people throughout the state of Texas. Give them a call. If you want to just consult, make a phone call, just find out if you should go with John Daspit and his firm, 713-322-HURT. They'll be more than happy to talk to you. 713-322-HURT. Or for more information, just go to DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, News of the Weird here, Lance. Let me ask you a question. Should you throw chicken wings at people? Do you think you should throw chicken wings at people, Lance?
Who are we?
Well, a Florida man was arrested for throwing chicken wings at his wife. Do you believe that's...
Nope, doesn't warrant an arrest.
Well, that's assault. I'm sorry, but it is an assault.
Okay? From how far away, how hard, how many?
Well, those all are in play.
Okay.
Okay?
Unless you give me some other... as they say on Twitter, I'm going to need context.
Yeah. Here's one I don't understand. Here's the headline. Dad caught pleasuring himself at a bus stop for over an hour after work drinks.
Why does it say dad?
I don't know. That's my question. Why can't he just be a man? Why was he... Were the kids there? Come on, Dad. Put it away.
Why are we calling him dad?
But I don't know.
Why are we parent shaming?
I mean, he was a man doing that. Oh, my goodness. Would you like to be the only person on a flight? How about
yes.
this? This lucky What's airline passenger was the only person on an international flight. Look at that plane. He got it to himself.
Yeah, where's he flying to? It's got to be someplace terrible.
A man from Lancashire, the only passenger boarded a flight from Faro, Portugal to Belfast, Ireland. That's not far. That's like from here to Dallas.
It's an international flight.
Yeah, an international.
It actually happened somewhere else.
Would you ever do this? An Oregon man threw $200,000 from his car to bless others. He threw out went to the bank, withdrew $200,000, and just started throwing it to people. His family, though, claims he drained their shared bank accounts.
That guy was Logan Roy.
Can't say anything about Logan Roy. Goodness
gracious. That was a tester to I just gave you a little test.
That was quite the episode. Okay. An Ohio man who damaged cell towers to stop the aliens has pleaded guilty. Do you feel like if you take down all of our cell towers that we will stop aliens from coming in here?
No, but I mean, we might actually spend less time on social media, but I would think if the aliens want to track us or whatever, it'd be pretty easy through cell technology.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And TikTok.
Yeah, and
obviously. Or that's the Chinese. That's not.
Well, unless the Chinese are working with the aliens.
You don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
If they are, then yeah, they're going to use TikTok to get us.
Do you feel like a beehive is a good place to hide?
Like hide and seek?
Yeah, no. Like if you're a burglar trying to hide from police.
It wouldn't be one I would choose.
It was until a burglar smelling dog arrived and found him in the beehive.
He was hiding in a
beehive. Yeah.
Do bees
but
not
then the cops couldn't find him, but the dog did.
You know what? I've heard I've heard two different groups. Pit bull owners and beekeepers will tell you bees aren't dangerous. They won't sting you.
Whatever.
Until
they do and you die.
Pit bulls won't hurt you.
Yeah.
If a pit bull hurts you, it's got bad owners.
Would other people's drinking other people's blood hurt you?
Well, it would give you strength if you're on 1883 or 1923.
Whoa. I don't remember them drinking blood.
Well, they ate the heart.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They got blood on their mouth.
A Japanese cafe has fired its waitress for making a cocktail infused with her own blood.
I mean, do you want craft cocktails or not?
Or not.
I mean, you want something? Okay, let me see. Where else are you going to get that one? Now, it's probably not ideal because you might have something. So it's probably not ideal to put your blood in somebody's drink. But I am telling you that I guarantee you people would they eat crickets in San Diego.
Yeah.
They eat fried crickets. They 100% would have blood cocktails.
Blood cocktails.
Just like a drop of human blood. Just say
I just
you had
worry
it.
That maybe...
People eat hamburgers and sandwiches with gold on it.
I know, but I want to know where she's been. How
I can tell. How I can tainted, eyeball it.
How tainted that blood
I
is.
I can eyeball it. Now, if you see a bunch of tattoos, are you immediately thinking potential hepatitis?
A plastic surgeon says women are paying $25,000 to have their BBLs reversed.
Big butt lifts?
Brazilian butt lifts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Brazilian butt lifts.
$25,000
to have them reversed. Do you think they should keep them in?
Some of them. I know your answer, but I think some of them look absolutely stupid. Like, it doesn't
ridiculous.
Look natural. It's like, okay, you did not have a frame to put that on. It's like Bryce Young trying to get to 210 pounds. Yeah. Oh, As you would say, John, no, sis.
No. No, sis.
As you said yesterday, in a shocking turn of events. Oh, no, sis.
I didn't say no, sis. I said, that's a problem, sis.
Yes. Well, the whole thing. Same
A woman married to a ragdoll says she's pregnant with their second child. Do you think that this couple is waiting for their second child right now? He is an actual ragdoll and they're married.
They're not going to have a kid.
Well, they're on their second. Okay, so.
Well, I would.
Okay, says you.
You better get home earlier from work.
But if it's a wet rag.
Find out what's going on.
I think that'd be kind of hard. If it's. I don't know. I don't know. And a new study says men who have interest in sex live longer. Lance, how long are you going to live?
I mean, Gilbert already told you.
Right. Well, okay. But men who have interest in sex live longer. Well, not with Madi around.
Okay,
though,
did you say interest in it?
Interested in sex.
Oh, I'm interested.
Yeah. But Madi is a... Boy, you want to talk about a blocker.
I've got interested. Hey, you better make sure you see Chevalier.
I'm going to see Chevalier. It looks awesome. We're done. Paul Gallant is next. But first, Stephen Schell. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, man,
y'all have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you again on
weekend.
Monday.
You know, they finished they put all the, so the stone is in, the granite is in, and then yesterday they put the appliances into my patio. And so we're basically done. We got, vent hood goes in today, and I'm all set to go. Had an outdoor kitchen added to the outdoor patio. Should have done it right up front at the very beginning. But I'll tell you right now, having your own patio with in your own outdoor living space, your own kitchen, these are just huge game changers. I mean, it really is amazing the way that it helps you enjoy your home better. It turns your house into a home, and they're doing swimming pools. So maybe you've got an outdoor living space you like, or maybe you don't want one, but you do want a pool. They do pools. They do pool houses. They do outdoor kitchens, fire pits, fireplaces, of course, hang the big screen TVs in your outdoor living space, can put the big fans in. They do it all, and that's why you go with Texas Custom Patios, because they do it the right way. Their workmanship is incredible. It looks great, and it adds value to not just your quality of life, but also to the actual home value itself. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
She's not right. She's the queen, and we're the sorry people.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.